I would be that guy. And I turn around, I see this, the way he handled this, and it's beautiful. Because Jesus was just, you know, he was on his way somewhere. So this is what he says, verse 21. Jesus felt genuine love for the man and looked at him. So, thank God, I'm not Jesus. He was busy. And he was headed somewhere. And he realized, enough of the questions here. I could do what you're thinking, Andrew. I'm not. Genuine love. The real question, he shows the guy. And what I did love about that clip is his touch him. He touched his arm, his touch on him. Just kind of holding him there, basically saying, I'm perfect. And while I'm ready to fillet the guy, okay, and expose him, Jesus looks at him with love. And it says he felt genuine love for this man as he looked at him. Those of you who would be over in the category of faith that I described earlier, okay? You say you're a Christian. Can you see your Savior doing that to you? Just pause for a minute. Wake up. Think. Can you see your Savior in the midst of your rhetoric and the emotional roller coaster I've been on this week? Just cutting through all of it and saying, I love you. Genuine love and gentleness. Through all the stuff he could do to me, with all the stuff that I've responded or poorly responded to or not responded at all. Can you imagine his response like that to you? I'd go there if I were you. Just let it, okay? Beautiful thought. The supernatural eyes of God piercing into your face, feeling genuine love from his look, looking beyond all of your sins, looking beyond all of your faults, all your hesitations and fears and failures and inadequacies, looking into the soul of who you really are and your genuineness, who you are, and genuinely having love for you. Can you imagine? That's a powerful moment. And this is a little bit of a side, but let me just tell you something about this series. As we talk about Jesus, and as you study Jesus, and as I just look and I read these stories as we're coming up on them, choosing some things for Sunday, and I'll read them over and over and over again, each little word, and I see the detail, some of those things. What I learn about Jesus, you know what you can find out? You can find out about the character of God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 1, Jesus was the visible expression of the invisible God. Amen? Yeah. Guys, that's unreal. There's a series right there. You look at Jesus, you have the face of God. Think about that. He was the visible expression of the invisible God. When you see that Jesus looked at somebody with genuine love, you know, what can you know? That God looks at you with genuine love. You've heard that, some of you, since you were teeny, teeny, teeny. Maybe today you really need that. I do. I need someone that doesn't see a target on my back, but puts a blanket on my back and a warm cup of hot chocolate and says, man, let's hang out. You need to feel my love today. This is where we're at. That's genuine. Verse 21, you lack only one thing. Circle the words one thing, by the way, okay? Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me, okay? Nothing like a little whiplash there. The guy's all excited. He asked the question. The Bible doesn't give the tone, but I imagine if he's looking at him with genuine love, he's probably speaking with a fairly tender tone, go sell all you have, give the money away, you'll have treasures in heaven, then come follow me. That's not what the guy wanted to hear. The look on his face was priceless. Let me be very clear, and I'm very clear to all of our regulars here, very clear to the visitors, but very clear to all of you that are just coming and going in different services. I want to make it very clear, this passage does not suggest that material possessions at all and money are evil. That is not what the Bible teaches. That's not what it says, okay? The love of money, yes, that's bad. But the Bible teaches against that. Putting your possessions before God. Yeah, that's bad. But the Bible doesn't teach that possessions and money are bad. It doesn't do that. Okay? So what he says in this instance, the guy's barrier to God was materialism. He literally put that in front of him. I have some serious issues right now going on. We have housing issues. We have this thing going on over here. We have another situation over here. And we have some kids on the team that are just going crazy with their lifestyles right now. There's a lot happening right now. I can put all of that in front of God as well. It doesn't have to be material possessions. It could be issues. But it's still ahead of God. Am I willing to put those things aside? If he really was looking at me and for me, what would he say for me to sacrifice that I love the most? What would it look like? That's the theme here. What do you love most that you need to sacrifice? Some people have asked me, how did Jesus know that that's what the guy needed to sacrifice? Okay? Actually, I had an email on this. First of all, Jesus was God, okay? He had a little inside scoop there, okay? But he also, number two, I don't know, maybe he looked at him. I don't know, in this video clip it was cool because there were several people that left with him. There's a little entourage with him. A lot of times that speaks of money. That's kind of a big deal. That's what I was looking for. Maybe something here, I don't know. But verse 22 says this, at this, the man's face fell. Circle face fell on there. And he went away sadly because he had many possessions. And this week, in one of my commentaries, Matthew Henry, great stuff, New Testament and Greek. I wanted to translate face fell. Like, face fell, okay? Those are the words. And it's almost like the sky was becoming overcast in anticipation of a storm. There was a progressive darkening of this guy's face, is what I was reading. As he heard the words of Jesus, he just took them in and started mixing feelings together with all the things he had. And he knew, and he wasn't going to be able to do it. And he literally walked away sadly. The storm came into his life. Like, are you serious? You have no idea what this would mean. Wherever. But I mean, he is just broken. For this guy, he thought all about the property he owned. But you know what happened? The property owned him. This guy was a prisoner to his junk, to his stuff. Like you and me, he wanted greatness, but he wasn't willing to make the sacrifice. As he walks away, Jesus had this incredible, teachable moment. Verse 23, look at it. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. This amazed him. The principle, this concept, the phrase totally amazed his closest followers. So much so he had to repeat it. And he repeated it with this illustration. Jesus said again, dear children, it is very hard to get into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. This is very subtle and you don't get it. But Jesus is using humor right here, okay? He really is. He was being funny, but none of us laughed. It's one thing when I say something brilliantly funny, you don't get it because we're not wise enough to get that humor. But this thing right here, this is huge. When Jesus is being funny and you don't laugh, he's trying to illustrate how difficult it is. Guys, imagine the largest animal in Palestine trying to fit through the head of a needle. I mean, he just cuts right into it. The largest animal in Palestine. Okay? Now you laugh. Humor is all about timing. You had to be there. Okay? Pastor Scott might have been there. I don't know. I'm just kidding. You never know. You never know when Jesus is going to just throw one of those little things out there. What he's going to say. I mean, actually, it's very funny back then. Present day prayer phrase with this may be, you know, it's easier for a rich person to get in the kingdom of heaven than it would be for Pastor Andrew to walk past a cinnamon roll. Okay? He is just throwing them out there. The disciples are sitting there going, whoa, you know, like, wow, you know. They're sinking it in. Verse 26, the disciples were astounded. They'd already been amazed. Now they're astounded. And they say, then who in the world can be saved? Big question. Are you picturing this? Guy walks away. Disciples are amazed and are standing there. They're not getting it. If that guy can't get in, if that guy can't buy his way in, that guy can't get there, what chance do we have? Seriously. I mean, they're struggling with this. Then in response to the question, who can be saved? Verse 27, Jesus lands the plane. He looked at them identically and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But not with who? Say it. Yeah. Now the guys are sitting here going, what's he saying? No one. Everybody here, all of us included, none of us can be saved by our wealth, by our achievements, by our talent. From a human standpoint, it's impossible for me to be saved on my own terms. There's nothing I can do. Everything is possible with God on His terms. And what are His terms? What is He saying here? For that rich guy, his terms were God wanted to be number one in his life. God wants to be number one in my life. God wants to be number one in your life. Look at verse 28. Great verse. Peter began to mention all that he and the other disciples had left behind. We've given up everything to follow you, he said. In the book of Matthew, there's actually an extra sentence that Matthew throws in there where Peter said, what will we get out of it? You catch that? Matthew threw that one in. What are we going to get out of it? You know? Anybody ever thought that way? What's in it for me? Matthew caught that one, didn't he? He dropped that one. What is great and, you know, what's going on here? That's a fair question, isn't it? It's a fair question. What are we going to get out of this? Peter's thinking, Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you, man. I mean, what are we going to get out of it? It might not seem to you that, you know, the whole family fishing industry is a big deal, but hey, that was a big deal to my family, to my parents. Granted, I'm in, I don't, you know, I smell pretty, I don't have to smell like a halibut anymore, but I gave up a lot. It's everything I've known. What am I going to get out of this? What about you? It's fun to see you do these miracles. It's great to hear your teaching. It's nice to be in your presence, but that's not going to show real well 25-year reunion from now. I want to know, what am I getting out of this? Am I going to turn water into wine by myself? I'm curious. That'd be cool. I'd probably have, you know, a drink right now. But what's in it for me? What does this look like? And actually, I wish the rich guy had asked that. I really wish he had. Matthew reports that it was not him, but I really would have loved that. Jesus, if I do sell everything that I've got, and then I come to follow you, what am I going to get out of it? Okay? Once again, maybe you're over here and you're confused. You're in that confused stage. Maybe that's a question you need to ask. What does this all mean? What do I get out of it? What's in it for me? Even though it's a very self-centered question, it's a great question to ask. I think God can show up in the midst of that question. Ask it. It's normal for a lot of people. It is. Ask it and let God show up in the question itself. Actually, this whole journey I've been taking with you is going to lead to the answer. We've been slowly moving up to the top of the roller coaster. We're ready to go down. Buckle your seat belts. Hang on to your pancreas. Here we go. Look at this verse right here, verse 29. Jesus replied, I assure you that everyone who has given up, circle given up, okay, house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake, circle for my sake, will receive now in return 100 times over. Underline, 100 times over. And in the world to come, they will have eternal life. In these two verses, there's a lot. There's a lot here. What Jesus is really doing is calming these guys down. And he's saying, hey, whoa. Just want to let you know, I assure you, that your sacrifice is going to be rewarded. 100 times over. Special bonus. Okay? Big. Special bonus is you get to spend time with God in eternity as well. Okay? This is big. Just calm down. You're going to be rewarded for your sacrifice. Now, I'm not a math whiz, but I love Jesus' math here. 100 times over. Does say 100% more. Okay? Track with me on this. What would be 100% more? If I gave you $5, what's that? Say it. $500. Now, you know, as far as me being maybe a dumb pastor, this is a good investment. I'd go with that. Jesus is letting them know right off the bat, guys, I've got this. In addition to that, you get to hang out with my Father. The one thing I want you to get out of this message, when you go to lunch, start watching football, whatever it is, do the different things, in your many words, and that you've heard this morning, things are fading away throughout your Sunday. You're forgetting this entire sermon, all of it, okay? Here's what I want you to get. Sacrifice is the investment to greatness. There you go. You want to be great, invest in sacrifice in a whole other life. That's what I want you to get. It's the investment to greatness. In your outline, I put a one there. That's the one thing I want you to get. It's simply amazing that sacrifice is the investment to greatness. For those who want to know what's on the test next week, hey, bring it back. And this is what I want you to remember. Sacrifice is the investment to greatness. We build on this. This has been a hot topic in my family. What is it that God wants us to sacrifice? What does it look like? Jesus is saying, if you sacrifice one house for my sake, 100 doors are going to be open. That's amazing. If you sacrifice one relationship that's keeping you from a close relationship with me, you're going to see 100 relationships. It's amazing. One habit. Give up one that's destroying you right now. Your sacrifice, that for my sake, I'm going to give you 100 new habits that will totally enrich your life. Tracking with me? You sacrifice your riches for my sake, you're going to experience a depth of richness in your life that you could never dream of. That is amazing. It's from our Savior's lips. I can't promise you as a pastor, I can't promise you when you're going to get that 100 times. I can't. I would be lying if I did. That's not my role. But that's not even your role to worry about. Your role, my role, is to sacrifice. Just do it. God's part is the 100 times. He's the doer. Jesus ends the teachable moment by referring to eternal life. Look at this in verse 31. He says this, "But many who seem to be important now will be the least important then. And those who are considered least here will be the greatest then." Greatness is not an exclusive club. A lot of people have the appearance of greatness today, but they haven't sacrificed. They don't have a relationship with God. What eternity rolls around, and it's coming around, and it's here, man. I mean, we have so much pointing at eternity right now in this world. Okay? It's going to be the least. They're going to be the least. Basically, what Jesus is saying is God honors sacrifice both now, today. Okay? Both now, today. And will reward that on this playground we call earth and into eternity both. He wants you to do it now. And certainly it will have eternal dividends. But right now it will show immediate change in your life. Amen? I need that. Man, do we all need that. Let's have something right now. Let's make this very personal. Let's imagine you would walk up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want the greatest life of being. I want that eternal life. What do I need to sacrifice? What do I need to give up in order to do that? Well, guess what? Here's my guess. My guess is for half of us in here, we're already on top of that answer. I bet half of us in here know exactly where we should go with that. Just do it. Let yourself go there. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to struggle with it. We don't have to deal with it. It quickly comes to your mind. I need to let this go right now. Not because some pastor guy's telling me to, but because God's Spirit's working inside this building right now. He is moving throughout this crowd. There's a lot of people here, and He can handle every one of them. He can handle me from up here. He can handle the sound booth. He's walking around. He is downstairs with our beautiful children. The Holy Spirit moves. And when something comes to your mind and triggers something in your head, that's not from you. That's God's Spirit working inside you. They know, these people. It can be hard to give up things. I understand that. They know that. I know that. You know that. Sacrifice is never easy. They just don't want to do it. Maybe there's another group. Maybe there's something you love dearly than something else. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something financial. I found this box, okay? And it's really a kind of visual image. What's in this box is going to be different for you than it is for me. But what's in that box represents what it is that you and I need to sacrifice. Really, the question is, what's in there? What's in there? When you open the lid and you make that sacrifice, whoa, what is in that for you? Is it really a sacrifice? Or it's just like, yeah, I really didn't have a lot of time for this anyway. Spit valves and all that stuff. Saxophone. Yeah, whatever. I'm talking about a real sacrifice here. What's in that box for you? If you don't know, let me just give you some triggers to get you thinking. You're a teenager maybe, and the comfort of your friendships needs to go away. Maybe you're too comfortable in your friendships that you know aren't good for you. If you're in the marketplace and you're working too much, and you're trying to build a reputation, you need to sacrifice the illusion of success to discover your significance that people are looking for. Jesus has a definition of your significance. It doesn't have to be an illusion of what you look like in Vons. Maybe you're addicted to something. You may need to sacrifice your pride and beg a friend to help you be released from the prison that you're trapped in. I saw that yesterday. I visited very briefly the art festival and had a great conversation with a friend who, in just a matter of moments, we were talking about addiction. In just a matter of moments, the conversation went somewhere I didn't see. I was just looking at art. Real quick, I was just kind of flying through these tents as I got done paddling. And I was looking around going, well, and this conversation this guy wanted to have really quick. I'm going, good grief. But maybe a friend needs to help you with that release. Maybe you need to get open about that. And if you're materialistic and your life is about having stuff in your home and your car, your toys, your trips, maybe you need to let go and loosen your grip on possessions and then cling to God. If you're trying to be someone with primary motivation, you'll be recognized by others. You may need to sacrifice your self-centered motive so you can be recognized. If you're in a bad relationship, it's filled with tension. A marriage, dating, friendship, whatever. You may need to sacrifice your ego and literally admit your failures. I have blown it. I don't know where I was going, but I apologize for what I said. I'm not looking for anything in return. Your forgiveness would be great, but I'm sorry. Allow yourself to go there. Allow yourself to release the tension so that God can bring healing to your life. I don't know what it is for you, but I can tell you what the promises of God are. And the promises of God are when you and I sacrifice, you're going to be blessed. And by that sacrifice, that's an investment to greatness. Amen? It's an investment to greatness. Your sacrifice is an investment. Remember those I described earlier today that may be spiritually confused, or you've rejected, or you're apathetic, or you're curious. Before I was a Christian, I didn't get this. You know what I thought about this whole Christianity thing? I thought it was a crutch. I just thought it was a crutch. What I needed to sacrifice was my pride. Age 17, I let go of my crutch. What I thought was a crutch. That whole attitude about a crutch. I let go of my pride. Why do I need God? My life's okay. I can do what I want to do. I don't need somebody controlling me. I just didn't understand it. It was my pride. All that stuff had to go away. All those questions. Then I realized God loved me. He loved me right where I was. It wasn't about a religion. It was about a relationship with Him. That God wasn't a puppeteer moving me around. He wanted me to have a better life. A better life than I ever dreamed of. It's at that point when I had to sacrifice my pride and say, God, I want a relationship with You. And for 20 plus years, I've been on that journey of what it looks like. God invading my life and sharing that in a shared adventure with other lives. Changing the way I think and act and treat others. And really blessing my life in a way that I could not have described before Christ. He's the man. He's the man. I want to follow Him. It's just wise. A life of wisdom. Following Jesus. That sacrifice is an investment to greatness. But today as a Christian, I still got to make sacrifices daily. Even as a Christian, I have daily sacrifices. I still get prideful. There's still ego. There's ego all over the place just waiting to happen. God's love cuts through. The power of God and the presence of God. There is freedom from guilt. Freedom from sin. I wouldn't trade anything for that. When His love invades. This weekend I see people packing this island for art. I went from tent to tent to tent. You know what I was looking at for the majority? I was looking at the people in the tent. I was looking at what we call artists. And I was thinking of God as the artist. Because I can look at all the stuff that they think is beautiful and the kind of pictures that they took hanging on the wall. But I just want to see the guy. I want to see the artist. I'm like, are you the one that's so open to this beauty around you? You ever thought about that? You ever looked at an artist and said, you know, you are a work of art? Kind of hard to say that when you're looking at all their stuff, but inside me, my heart was there. Young Carson, just kind of looking at his view through a camera. I didn't really, you know, the pictures are great. But I looked at Carson, I'm going, dude, you know you're a work of art? You yourself? And he was like, oh, yeah, I am. A little overwhelming, but I wanted him to know, you know, your eye on this world is beautiful. I love what you got hanging here. You yourself are a work of art. You're simply amazing. Okay? On the notes where I put that 100 times, I left some space there. Should be a blank there. That's where I want you to write down what it is. What's in that box for you? You don't need to write it down now. You could, but if I were in your shoes, I'd wait. Because with my luck, I'd be sitting next to my wife. She'd look over and say, I can think of three more things. All right? Just be careful with that. But write it down. You know, I don't want that. Maybe just put a letter or initial or a dot that says, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to do that. Because there are things that are in your head. Maybe you're over here spiritually. You're not ready to sacrifice things for Jesus. You don't even get it yet. But maybe you make a sacrifice to say for the next couple weeks, I'm going to carve some time out of my schedule and I'm going to stick it out. I don't have 100% for sure on this, but I'm going to try to schedule my time and I'm going to come. I'm going to give it a shot. Let it sink in. Okay? Just examine it. Maybe that's your sacrifice from right now. If our worship team can come up. Can you imagine what this would look like? with people coming to Avalon Community Church, making a sacrifice like this? Can you imagine what our homes and families would look like if this happened in our church? Can you imagine what your roommates would be like? Some of you guys have people that rent from you, or maybe you share a place where you're at. Can you imagine this for yourself? All of a sudden your life is defined by greatness rather than being defined by that which you weren't willing or able to sacrifice. Imagine what this world would look like with a friend or a family member who's not even here right now. But imagine if he or she could make the sacrifice to experience the greatness that God has to offer. It's not too late. Let that change your life. I can see it. I can see it in you. I can see it in our church. I can see people really dealing with this because of the desire for greatness. I can see it in you. You don't make a jump to Catalina Island to live out here unless you have some big ideas that this could be great. This could be a great place to do life. I could raise my family out here. I could meet someone out here. I could change some part of life out here as a result of living here. You don't move here for just any small reason. You have big hopes. Sacrifice is the investment to greatness. God, we don't want to be the same people when we leave here as often as when we arrived. We came to celebrate. We came to be with people. Everybody came for different motives. And you know what those motives are. We just don't want to leave the same. Many of us in here, we don't have the courage to even admit that there are things keeping us from the great life you offer and you promise. We don't want to admit that it's our pride. We don't want to admit that it's our ego, other stuff. We don't want to admit that there's other things in our life we love so dearly, more dearly than you. God, give us the courage to admit it and face it, the strength to sacrifice for it. Thank you that you look into our lives past our failures and fears and sins, inadequacies, all those things, and you feel genuine love for us. And may it be genuine love that draws us to sacrifice. That we would see sacrifice as an investment for greatness. We thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.